Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm Scott Klein, and with me today is Casey. And now, Casey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We've had you here before. I can't remember.
Yeah, I presented about polybase scale-out groups.
Oh, that's right.
I think about a year ago as we were marching up to SQL 16.
We need to have you back more often. Because there's some cool stuff to talk about polybase.
Yeah, it's because we're hiding and working. We never get a chance to show our faces.
One of the things, the reason you and I were talking is there's just some awesome stuff going on with Polybase lately.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you got?
So as you know, like Polybase, last time we talked, right? Polybase was in SQL Server.
Yep.
And we're talking about Polybase connecting to Hadoop and federated queries and pushdown.
Yeah.
Well, it's a pretty versatile tool. So what we did is we actually started looking at it and put it into SQL Data Warehouse in the cloud. So if you're not, are you familiar with Azure SQL Data Warehouse?
Yeah, somewhat. Yep.
Okay, so it's an MPP SQL environment in the cloud, fully managed. And one of the most important things about a data warehouse is getting data into the data warehouse.
Yeah,
a data warehouse without it is just a bunch of compute and it's no fun. So we're using Polybase actually as a data loading tool.
Okay.
It's a preferred way to load data. So how we optimized it in SQL 16 and you know to connect to Hadoop was you have massive fan out of multiple threads per node.
Yeah.
You can read data in parallel. Well, query federation and data loading have the same principles of what you need to get done.
Okay.
You need to move data from point A to point B quickly.
Yep.
And so this is actually the preferred way that we say to load data into SQL Data Warehouse. It's the fastest way to get data.
How much of Polybase do I need to know to start getting into
data? So very little. So all you really need to know is how to connect to your external data source.
Okay.
So
where my data is coming from.
Where is it coming from? So you need some basic information about that. So like the URI, there's usually a secret involved, a key, so you can actually access the data.
Okay.
You need to know what file format your data is in.
Okay.
And then you just need to know the schema of it. So you create an external table, and you do this statement called a ctas, create table as select, where you just you import data using that statement. So it's slightly different than SQL Server. We can walk through it if you want to.
Did this come up? Yeah, I'd love to. Absolutely.
Yeah,
but did this come about because they're like, you know, I got all this, just because of the, like you said, MPP, the ability to massively scale and you know, from source to destination into SQL Data Warehouse?
That was definitely a key motivator, yeah.
Okay.
So when you think of like, when you think of an MPP system, there's generally a single control node and there's multiple compute nodes.
Yep.
And so if you think about the standard import tools that exist out there, like SSIS, SSIS or BCP, those all go through the head node, right? So they're ODBC connectors, they go straight to the head node, and then you have to route the data.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing about Polybase is it's built into the SQL engine.
Yep.
And so each compute node can start moving data
built
independently.
Built on the, kind of the cluster scenario,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So I can massively distribute.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so as you scale up your data warehouse, so we go by DWUs, data warehouse units, they go from 100 to 6,000. As you scale up, you actually get faster imports.
Interesting.
Because you're scaling up the resources,
right.
You're scaling up the number of nodes, you're scaling the number of connections. So it's all built into the warehouse, pretty tightly coupled. And so that's the coolest part about it.
This is demo time.
You didn't ask the best question, though. What do we connect to?
Connect to from?
SQL Data Warehouse. So I would say 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, we would only say we could support Windows Azure Storage Blobs.
Oh, from a source perspective.
From a source perspective.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But now we just released Azure Data Lake Store.
Really?
So now, yes, exactly. So we tie in tightly with the two main storage components within Azure, Windows Azure Storage Blob and ADLS.
Well, that makes sense, right? Because Polybase is built on the ability to connect to a Hadoop cluster type of
Exactly,
right?
So we just actually use HDFS APIs, and they actually have a layer on top of both Windows Azure Storage Blob and ADLS. So that is how we connect.
Yep. So right now it's Azure Blob Storage or Azure Data Lake Store?
In SQL DW.
And SQL DW.
No, within SQL DW.
Oh,
those
SQL
are the
SQL
two
DW.
That you can connect to.
Okay. Yep.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And so,
Okay. Woo! Let's go.
Let's go for it. So I have a pre-set up environment, but I have a data source that's called my Azure Data Lake Store. And so this is just kind of like what you need to know to actually connect.
Okay.
So there's a slight difference in how we connect to Azure Data Lake Store from how we connected to Windows Azure Storage Blobs.
Okay.
Within Azure Data Lake Store, you have to have an Azure Active Directory application that you use to authenticate.
Okay.
So there's a few pieces of information you need to know about that, like the client ID, the OAuth token, and then there's a key for that application. And you store that in a database scope credential, and it's all encrypted within the server.
Yeah.
So once you create that, it's hidden and usually passed through a secret. The only other part that you need is this, the URI of your data lake store.
Okay.
So that is what you use to identify your external data
store. So this is where we're going to go get our data from.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. pbasetr.azuredatalakestore.net.
Okay.
And then we have a file format, which I have a couple of varieties here. So the new one, we've done a lot of work recently, the new one that we have is a UTF-16 file format.
Okay.
This was a huge pain for customers who had BCP'd their data.
Okay.
Because BCP by default goes in UTF-16 format, and then what you'd have to do is convert it back to UTF-8 in order to load it. So we actually just removed that boundary for folks.
Gotcha.
So you define your external data source, you define your file format, and then you define your external table. And actually, you already have one of these built, so we'll take a quick look at it.
So that's your, ADLS.
Yeah, so I just built a custom schema so I can keep track of it mentally myself.
Okay, so that's your. This is your SQL DW.
Ah, yeah, so we should talk about it. So this is a SQL DW. It's my ADLS test DW.
Okay.
I have a bunch of data, New York taxicab data, just an open free data set. And so this is the geography dimension.
Okay.
So I have it stored within a directory in ADLS. We can go take a peek at it in a second. But it just has some standard data that we're interested in. And it's an uncompressed CSV file format.
Right.
So you can see I just have it in this directory location of WAC geography.
Okay.
And then within that directory, there's a set of files.
Okay, so this is create the table, and this is where we're gonna go. There's our data lake store, data source, and the format that we pointed to, and go get the data from there.
Yep, exactly. Okay. And then these last two is reject type and reject value. So in the IoT world, data's not always clean.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you try to clean it. There's something that kind of busts your logic. And so what you can do is you can actually set a value or a percent of records that you're willing to reject during a load, so your entire load doesn't fail.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep. And so I set it to zero. I've gone through this a couple times. I'm pretty sure that I have clean data, but I've been surprised before.
Yep.
And so full collation support and everything works too. So you're really just defining an object in a database using your T-SQL skills.
Okay. Sweet.
So we got that part. Now to do the load, this is a beautiful little statement. It's called the CTAS. So you create a table called dim geography. So I'm creating a local table. I also get to put the index on it and the distribution of the data all within the same statement.
Okay.
And then I do a select star from that external table. So what I'm doing is I'm creating a table, creating my index, creating my distribution, and I'm telling it where I want to select the data from.
Okay, so maybe I misunderstood. So this, the table we looked at, this ADLS, this is the...
It's a pointer.
That's the external table, just like for Polybase. You're creating an external table, which is a pointer to the data sitting in Azure Data Lake Store. And there you say, okay, so you're going to create a table in SQL DW called dim geography.
Yes, yes.
Right? And then say, select the data from that.
From the ADLS.dimgeography. Yeah, I could use better naming, but I try to
No, that's fine.
I think schemas.
Yep.
But, and this really is the best practice for loading data. And so this is a reasonably small table. I think it has a couple hundred thousand rows.
Yep.
That's why I chose a clustered index and not a clustered column store. And there's some interesting choices here that you can think about.
Now, what does distribution round robin mean?
Yeah, so within SQL DW, there's 60 distributions.
Okay.
So the data gets written into 60 buckets.
Okay.
And so there's two ways to do that today. One is hash distribution. So you pick some key and you say, I want hashes to be on the same distribution.
Okay.
The other way is round robin, which is I want to spread it as evenly as possible across the 60 distributions.
Okay, yep.
And so for small dimension tables, it really doesn't matter how it is because not much data is going to get moved around. So we can just do round robin here.
Yep.
So I just moved 304,000 rows.
In 32 seconds.
And I was getting that first connection too.
Yep.
So it is a little bit faster after that first query because I had to go authenticate, make sure that I can get into my ADLS.
Okay.
There's some handshaking that has to happen.
So I want to understand the distribution again, because it's, again, using Polybase. So when you executed this, what did Polybase do behind the scenes, and how much distribution did it do to bring that data in?
Yeah, so Polybase is in SQL DW is per node. So this is a DWU, I want to say 1,000, so it has 10 nodes in the backend. So there's 10 databases running.
Yep.
So each database runs out with a thread and pulls the data in.
So it used the DWU distribution scale to bring that data in.
Yes, so there's distributions, which is how the data is written, and then there's also the nodes, which is how many SQL instances are running.
Okay.
And so there's always 60 distributions, but the nodes are variable from 1 to 60.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so yes, it's basically how big do you want to move the compute? And so what happened is we reached out and we started pulling that data in parallel.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote it to a temp table.
Yep.
And then we, once we wrote it to the timtable, we did the shuffle as needed.
Okay.
And so each.
So even that, with all the, it still took 32 seconds with the connection and the shuffle and.
Yeah, and yeah, and again, that was the first time. These generally run a bit quicker.
Okay.
So that's the easiest way. Now the cool part is, if you look further down in my external table object explorer here, you can see this ext.time. Mm-hmm. That's actually pointing to Windows Azure Storage Blob. So you can do both at the same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so you don't have to worry, you know, am I going to load only from Windows Azure Storage Blob or only from ADLS?
Okay.
You can do both with SQL DW simultaneously.
Really?
No configuration changes of the DW. Oh, yeah, it all just works.
Okay. Yeah, just from what's going on behind the scenes, it doesn't care. You're saying go here to get my data and bring it in.
Yeah, as long as you've defined your external data sources correctly.
Yep.
You should be fine.
Okay. So if you're, which makes sense if you understand Polybase, the whole thing was go define your external table, your the data source, things like that,
yep,
right? And then just execute a query, right, to do
that. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And this is very simple to do. So if you wanted to speed this up, you could go into the portal into SQL DW and say, give me more, you know, give me more DWs.
Exactly, DWs. And so there's a couple best practices that we generally advise. One is to scale up if you're going to do a large load. So you can scale up to DW 6000, do your loading job, and then scale back down, or even pause your instance. So if you pause your instance, you don't get charged for compute.
Okay.
And so you can really optimize your workload pattern with what type of scale you want to be at.
Okay.
And then within SQL DW, there's also a concept of resource classes.
Yeah.
Which go from small to extra large. And it's basically how much memory does this user actually get.
Right.
And so as you would imagine, you're loading a bunch of data, you use a bit of memory to actually do that. So we generally advise being a medium large to extra large resource class when you start doing loading.
No, okay, and then you can scale it back down as needed.
Well, you can just create a user. A lot of folks do this programmatically, right?
Oh, yeah,
And so it's say, okay, log in with this username and credential, which happens to be a large resource class.
Yep.
And then you just programmatically load this stuff daily.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting. Now, you said that this is being able to pull from ADLS.
Yep.
Has been a couple. So is there anything they need to do, or is that all supported from within Azure to be able to support ADLS as a source?
Yeah, so all they have to do is provision their Azure Data Lake.
Okay.
And then within the Azure Data Lake, you have to... They actually have some wonderful documentation on service-to-service authentication.
Yeah. Okay.
So you run through that. That goes through how to create your Active Directory application. And then all you have to do is spin up your SQL DW, create your objects, which we have a tutorial on the SQL DW documentation site.
Okay.
And you can go off to the races.
Okay.
Yeah. And we can actually go take a peek if you want to at the Data Lake store. So you can get a better idea of what I was just poking around at. So this is my Data Lake.
Yep.
And you can see here this dim geography directory that I was talking about. And within it, you have a set of files. And we can just pop one of those open. I actually really like this experience because it helps me see what the data actually looks like. So I can match schema and match row counts. And so this was the data we just imported, which is pretty nice.
Very nice.
Pretty easy to do. You can download straight from the portal. But
very cool.
And so that was for like a small dimension table, right?
Yeah.
It was 36,000. 360,000 rows.
Yep.
Where it gets interesting is large fact tables, right?
Yeah.
And so you have billions of rows. And so I actually have one of those here too. And I just want to talk about the file structure and the folder directory structure is really important to optimize loads. And so this trip, there's always some time, aspect to the table, right?
Yeah.
And so the way that we see the most success is people to go some sort of table name, and then year, month, day, and then even down to hour subdirectories.
Okay.
So that you can really pinpoint what level do you want to load at. Do I want to load an hour of data? Do I want to load a day of data? A week, month of data, right? And so I kind of just mimic that structure here. So I have 2013, and then I go to the month. So this would be January 2013. And this would be the 10th of January 2013. And that's all the data associated with that.
Okay.
So if you think about the external table, right, we define that location at the location parameter.
Okay.
I can specify, do I want to load a year, a month, or a day?
And you specify that through...
Yeah, let's take a look. You specify that right here.
Oh, so in the location, you'd drill down...
Exactly.
Okay.
And so you can load subsets of data, or if you find that you actually have bad records in a specific day, it's very easy to go pinpoint, reload, and then get your data warehouse back
up. So you're not loading, you're really just loading a subset of data, not just...
The entire data all at once.
Yep. Okay.
And so that does a couple nice things. One is it actually makes a really resilient loading policy. So for whatever reason, if you have a disconnect during your load, well, at least part of it's loaded.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's very auditable. Of up to the last day, we know that entire set's loaded.
Yep.
That's a great part of it. It also makes it where you can roll back and go switch out data if you need to. And it actually helps with that memory contention. So if you're loading several terabytes, there's a transaction log. We're a relational database.
Yeah.
And so it's something to really think about is how do you limit how much is actually getting written to the transaction log? And the best way to do that is to chop up your load into pieces.
Your loading,
There's lots of good aspects of doing that.
Yeah. Now, are all these best practices documented up on MSDN?
They are in various pieces. I'm actively working on curating and recreating some of our loading documentation to make it a little bit crisper.
Cool. Yep.
But yeah, there's a lot of best practices.
Well, I think that was cool because what we saw was you had 360,000 records or something like that.
Yeah.
And given everything that's going on, creating the connection, it only took 32 seconds, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
Very powerful, and I love the ability that we're going after that unity of Polybase and Azure Data Lake Store. So all the all the technologies and services being able to work very nice and very well together.
Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely a better together scenario of Azure Data Lake can store all your data that you ever want, but there's always a piece that's really valuable just to have in a relational format. It's just the performance is there. It's been baked in SQL Server for 25 years.
Yep.
And so if you can get that into a relational format, it's just that much more powerful.
Yep, and it also gives you, if you're familiar with Azure, it also gives you the ability to say, how can I improve, just by scaling up, your DWUs and then scaling down and things like that, right? You have that flexibility to tweak it to to very fine grained.
Yep.
Right? Love it.
Exactly.
Awesome. Casey, thanks for coming.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Definitely look forward to having you back because there's a lot more about Polybase we should be talking about.
We can.
Awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.